Good morning and welcome to all, especially our guests who join us here at the Madeleine for the Sunday Mass. Hope that you can stay afterwards to join us for a pancake breakfast being served in the parish hall by the men of the Madeleine. And all are invited, particularly our guests today. My thanks for those who took part last Monday in the 40 Days for Life prayer vigil at the Garden of Hope, as well as last night who gathered for the Fall Festival. I'll be having lunch this coming Tuesday at Eisenhower International School to have lunch with the students there that are, their families are members of the Madeleine. One of the members of our parish, Lori Boughton, died last week at the age of 93 after a long illness. There'll be a rosary for her tonight here at the church, and her funeral mass will be here at the Madeleine tomorrow at 10 in the morning. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Earlier this year in our diocese, I got the distinction of now being the oldest Father Brian. There's me. There is Father Brian O'Brien, who is the president of Bishop Kelly High School. Now there is Father Brian Ketterer, who is the newly ordained associate pastor at St. Benedict's in Broken Arrow, and he's also a chaplain at Bishop Kelly. Now, to my mind, Father Ketterer and I spell our first names correctly. And Father O'Brien at Bishop Kelly misspells his first name, but that's all right. We love him anyway. Next month, you may have seen it if you visited Holy Family Cathedral, Bishop Slattery is going to dedicate a shrine that has the names of some 90 priests, and I share a last name with one of them. The names of the priests that are listed there are the priests who have served in this diocese since its founding and those priests who have now died. The priest I share the last name with is the late Father Don Brooks, who died after a long battle with cancer in 1999. You see, once upon a time, I was not the oldest Father Brian, I was the younger Father Brooks. And on this Priesthood Sunday, which we celebrate in parishes throughout the United States today, I think it's worth telling something of his story, and particularly how he lives the words that we hear from Jesus in today's gospel from Matthew, as well as the words from we hear in Exodus about the people on their way to freedom of how they should treat those who are foreigners, those who are aliens, those who are poor and suffering. First of all, I have to tell you that though he and I shared the same last name, we were not related. That question came up several times, often posed to me in this way. You aren't related to that Father Brooks now, are you? Because of those of you who knew him, you knew that with every one of us, he was far from perfect. And his temperament probably was not the best at times for being that of a parish priest. And also, when I heard him preach when I was in the seminary, being something of a snob, I was less than impressed. He would not be the first choice to work, say, with youth. He lacked the patience. But in an interesting way in which God's grace can work, when I did become the younger Father Brooks, he and I became friends, and he became in many ways a mentor for me. He may not have been the first choice to work in some ways in a parish ministry, but if you were in a labor union, and if you went on strike that lasted weeks or months for a more just wage, the other Father Brooks was the first and best choice of a priest to support you, pray for you, be present to you and to your family, and to stand by you as he did more than once in his priesthood. And if you had a son or daughter that was convicted of a crime and sent to prison, the other Father Brooks was the first and best choice to be the priest to support and to pray with that son or daughter, as well as to defend their God-given dignity, no matter how bad the crime was for which they were convicted. And that he did repeatedly throughout his priesthood, including that witness to those that were sentenced to death for their crimes. I have a photo of the other Father Brooks. It was taken in July of 1973. And for those of us old enough to remember, there was a riot at the state penitentiary that month. One of the worst riots to take place in prisons in the history of this country. Father Brooks was the Catholic chaplain to the penitentiary. And in that riot, three of the inmates were killed, and 21 prison officials and corrections officers were taken hostage. The person that negotiated a peaceful end to that standoff was the other Father Brooks. Because of his integrity, of his presence to those inmates and to the corrections officers through his time as the chaplain there, of the dignity that they all shared in Christ, he was the only one that they all trusted. And he negotiated the end of that riot without bloodshed. And the picture that I have of him, he's standing in what's left of the chapel, because part of the prison was burned down the riot. He's holding a chalice that had been charred in the fire. The chalice he would use when he would offer mass there at the prison. In wondering why he acted this way, I think because he understood the words of Jesus that we hear in today's gospel. When Jesus gives this summation of all the religious beliefs and practices of the law of Moses in the Old Testament, all the teachings of the prophets, that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, not just part way, not just when convenient or when our best interest. What Jesus is quoting is a prayer in Judaism known as the Shema. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. It's usually the first prayer of someone who is Jewish that they learn. Often it's the last prayer they offer as they are dying. And Jesus takes this well-known prayer and links it to the love of neighbor as yourself. Not just the neighbors that look like us, who act like us, who think like us, who vote like us, who pray like us, but to see everyone as our neighbor. In a reflection on this gospel reading, Father Robert Barron puts it, he says, everything in the church, the sacraments, the liturgy, the sacred arts, the methods of prayer, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, the witness of the saints, the ascetic practices, all of them are meant to awaken the love of God and of our neighbor in us. You know, it's been said that today about some of the teachings of the church that are difficult to accept for most people, particularly in our time and place. Usually things have to do about with gender, marriage and divorce and remarriage, about sexuality and so on. I think that tells us less about what the church is focused on, but rather what our culture is focused on. But I don't think that's the most difficult of the church's teachings to accept and to live out. I think rather it is the words of Jesus that we hear today. To love God with our entire self and to love our neighbor as ourselves. To love God and our neighbor. It's not simply an emotion. It's not simply a sentiment. But as the Catechism puts it, to love is to will the good of the other for their good, not our own. That's the heart of the proclamation of the gospel. It's the heart of what is referred to as the social justice teaching of the church, why we are mindful of the poor, of the alien, the foreigner, of those who are in prison, those who are on the margins. It is also the heart of the Christian life. And as the other Father Brooks knew, to the very core of his soul, it is also the heart of the priesthood. It's the heart of the liturgy that we offer today, our thanksgiving to God. It's the heart of the Eucharist, the body and blood, soul, divinity of Christ that we receive and share today. It's the very height and depth of the spiritual life that we are called to live. And everything else is a commentary. Everything else is a commentary.